Welcome back inside the cave on this Tuesday morning. Pat Hayes, John Kane with you this morning. And as promised, on the Green Jack guest line, we have Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Channel 47, Fox 47 out of Lansing. And Tom, the whole sports world this morning kind of reflecting on the game last night between Cincinnati and Buffalo and what happened with the young player, DeMar Hamlin, 24-year-old, and it really makes you stop and wonder. Life is very, very fragile, and certainly people are feeling it this morning.
Yeah, it was the ultimate perspective check. You know, I'd watched the Rose Bowl, and here, myself and other Michigan people, we've been, lamenting what happened in Phoenix for Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl. And then, so I'm watching, the bowl games yesterday and still down about that loss and Michigan's missed opportunity. And then we watched the Rose Bowl, iconic Rose Bowl, and then we're going to an NFL game, but a very important NFL game. So I was watching the game. I was watching the game live when Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, suffered that cardiac arrest and collapsed, and I was in disbelief. And it totally gives everybody and every walk of life a perspective check of what's important, and seeing the reaction, to the from the players. I mean, it was you could tell this was a little bit different in a horrific way. And I remember. And I'm old, like you, Pat, okay?
Yep, I know
so
what you're going to say.
1971.
Yep.
I'm watching the Lions and the Bears on TV, and Chuck Hughes all of a sudden was on the field. And they continued, they carted him off, and I'll never forget that Detroit Free Press picture on the front page of a doctor rushed out there, and they're taking him off on the gurney under the ambulance and taking him away but they continued to play the game.
Yeah.
Which was nuts. And it's so weird. It's like when I saw him down, I go, well, that Dick Butkus took him down. I automatically went into this blame game. when in reality it was just this heart condition that he had. But this was just with DeMar Hamlin and watching, and I stayed up till after midnight. I was pretty much really shooken up a little bit. And, in terms of, I wanted, before I went to bed, I wanted to make sure, even though I'm so far removed from the situation, that he was going to be able, they were going to stabilize him. And it sounded like that, that they had he was in critical condition and, obviously his heartbeat was restored, and they put him to sleep, and they were trying to do everything he can to get through this stage. And he's still alive this morning when I woke up. First thing I thought of when I woke up, but I'm sure it shook you too, Pat and John, the same way. It's like, wow, this is so much more important than a game.
Yeah, that's when the whole world stops and reflects on this whole thing. And I really felt sorry for the announcers, especially back in the studio. They didn't know what to say about this whole thing and tried not to speculate on anything and just let things roll as they would.
Yeah, and you're never prepared for this. I thought ESPN, Booger McFarland, I thought they all did, Adam Schefter, I thought everybody handled it well. This is when, you get, I think you really find out how talented and poised some of these professionals are. That on ESPN, they went to like six or seven commercial breaks.
I know.
It was one after another. It was nuts. And then I was a little surprised. I'm not going to be judgmental about it, but about how long it took to actually say this, we're not playing this game. I think it was an hour and a half. I thought that might come a little bit sooner, but you knew it wasn't going to be played. You could tell that emotionally, which links into physically, to have players play a game after that. They weren't in the right mindset, and I don't know when they're going to be in the right mindset.
Yeah, they're obviously not going to play that game today. They speculated a little bit about that. But Buffalo flew home last night after this whole thing took place. And it's even D.A. this morning on CBS was talking, maybe they'll never play this game. Maybe they'll just figure out a way working it on percentages or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would be very, very hard for a football player to go back out there and play that game today, if ever.
Yeah, yeah. Now this was, you know, and I'm no medical expert, I mean, but this was, I've been all over every kind of news source about this. I'm always very interested how the human body works and reacts and what a miracle thing it is, this machine we all have. But it was, there's only been like 200 cases of, you know, a bizarre situation where the cardiac arrest stops from a severe blow to the heart. I mean, it's like I'm surprised this doesn't happen in baseball though, because baseball is an amazing game in terms of danger that I don't think is addressed, because that ball could hit you just right, and you know at the time of the way your heart is operating functionally and in terms of its beats But this, you know, I thought concussion, initially, because that's what we think of. We think of concussion, and then we think of lower leg extreme injuries that we've seen. Those have been the two things that we witness in football, and so we see this, the ambulance on the field, and we see the fist up in the air, and then we feel, okay, he's going to be all right, and then they go back to the game, okay. But this was, when you're dealing with the stoppage of the heart, then you're in a whole new realm in that regard.
You know, Tom, it really is a tremendously unfortunate decision or situation, I mean. And whether they decide to play or not play this game, unfortunately, has major ramifications for Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this was the most anticipated Monday night football game this late in the season that I can recall. And I watched Monday night football. I'm not all over it, but it's my backdrop every Monday night. And in this one, I mean, there's been a lot with the playoff situation in the NFL. There's a lot of games to be played that are going to decide these last slots and things like that. And maybe they can tweak it. I don't know. But I think before they do anything, I think everybody in their right mind needs to know is Damar Hamlin going to survive this before they make any decision. I truly think that. Now, I haven't seen any press conference. I've seen press statements. I'm sure they'll be addressed today in Cincinnati at the UC Medical Center there. But they're going to have to. Pat mentioned about percentages. You're right. They could do something like that, but I don't know how they do the playoff slots moving forward.
Right. So we don't know how that's going to work out yet. I mean, it could be that Cincinnati wins the division by not playing the game. I don't know how that works out at all, but it's just an unfortunate situation, and it'll get cleared up, and maybe somewhere down the road they'll come up with a specific protocol on how to handle this situation moving forward. I don't know, but
yeah, well, I mean, that life is about experiences, and then reacting those experiences and using those experiences to prepare for the next horrific experience. I mean, and so it's a ongoing process, and I'm the NFL Players Association obviously isn't. In heavy involvement along with that with the NFL hierarchy, so it will new protocols, I'm sure, when it comes to these situations will be in place.
Well, I just want to shift gears now, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about get a couple of thoughts from you about the Michigan football game. I think that that game or this year was like a golden ticket for Michigan. One of their best chances to win the championship this year, because Georgia, I don't think, is the Georgia team of last year and are more vulnerable, and that's an opportunity that they missed. a couple of observations. Number one, I think, well, 45, you should win the game. You score 45 points, obviously, number one. But number two, if you look at the bowl season, how it went, the first half of the bowl season when the teams were mostly 500 teams or maybe a little bit over was starkly different from the big boys, the guys with the big records, and how much offense has dominated most of those games. It's kind of surprising. And are we in an era now where I consider it what I call Star Trek recruiting? You have to have space weapons in order to survive.
Pretty good synopsis there, John. I like the way you framed it. Well played. Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten started out, you know, what, 4-0, and Iowa did good, and Iowa was good in bowl games. The back half, obviously, you know, Michigan and Ohio State could have easily won those games. They could easily be playing on a week from, you know, or next Monday night, okay? And we'll get into that in a second. And the Purdue thing was getting beat that bad was bizarro, but when your coach leaves, I mean, Purdue's a mess. And this is where, you know, you got the transfer portal, but then you got these coaches abandoning their team as well. That didn't totally surprise me. And Illinois could have, you know, Illinois had a shot at winning that Mississippi State game. And Penn State did well last time. 5-4 is not bad for the Big Ten. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it seems like, you know, back to what happened with, you know, giving up a lot of points. I mean, Michigan's defense, this has happened a few times, like in 06 and then last year and then this year. I mean, where the defense is like, wow, yeah, that Michigan defense, look out. They're physical, they're this, they're that. They're you know, they're tough. But then when it comes to money time, you know what I mean? You know, I'm talking about in 06 when they played Ohio State and all of a sudden they were giving up just massive chunk plays. And then, obviously, in Georgia last year, I mean, they were out of that game right from the start. And then they were down 21-3 in this game. I mean, so these two CFP games, they've been behind. Now, keep in mind, a pick six, that was killer in the first half and then a pick six in the second half. So it's not totally on the defense. But to give up, for Michigan's defense, to give up 275 yards rushing was just baffling to me. I mean, I can't process that. How does that happen? And I don't know if it's like a preparation or what that goes into it, but it seems like that's happened a couple times, and it keeps you really guarded when we laud this Michigan defense the next time, particularly when they have such soft schedules, which they are going to next year. They're not going to play. They're going to go 7-0 into the Michigan State game without any kind of test at all. And that, to me, is fool's gold.
Are you going to ask Ward Manuel that question again, whether we're going to get some Power 5 schools in here?
Well, I might have to ask Ward Manuel because Jim Harbaugh might not be there. Big I don't know. I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah, the annual report comes out that Jim Harbaugh is going to the NFL. What's the latest you've heard?
Well, I mean, it's like when Bruce Feldman from The Athletic is a very reliable source, and there's statements made from certain media sources that if he's accepted, if he's offered, he's going to accept. And last week he said he's not interested. Okay, so you might have now post game you might want to make that declaration again. Look, I know there's a lot of rumblings out there. I am staying. I'm locked in at Michigan, but I don't trust this guy. After last year on signing day, he's in Minneapolis, and he wasn't offered a job. What if he's offered a job? I think he's going to take it. So, I think Bruce Feldman's right. So I don't trust Jim Harbaugh as far as I could throw him.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay, and then I want to ask you one other question about the direction, the future of college football. Ohio State, Georgia. How does Ohio State score 41 points on Georgia with a one-dimensional offense? I mean, is just slinging the ball, like I said, recruiting space weapons the future?
Well, I mean, you got extraordinary. I mean, Ohio State's receivers, I mean, are. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. went out in that game. And they still. And that, but that changed the dynamic for all. When he went out, C.J. Stroud was much less. I mean, I think he was like 4 of 9 for just a handful of yards after, you know, Harrison Jr. went out. So that's an extraordinary NFL-ready receiver. And Georgia's got great. I mean, these are just great athletes. I mean, Georgia's got two tight ends that are, you know, generational to have that kind of talent at the tight end position that can do the things they can do. And they have good running backs. These are all good quarterbacks. All four of these quarterbacks. Let me keep in mind, let me make this statement. All four of those teams in the CFP could be a national champion. I really believe that. And I'm not saying that TCU is going to beat Georgia, but I think they're going to be more competitive than people think in this game. And you're right, Johnny, your mark at the opening was right. This was Michigan's opportunity this year. That's why this was hard for me to process through. And, you know, my emotional tie to Michigan, Pat's well aware of it. I mean, it takes me at this level, this far deep in the tournament, like in basketball or football, it takes me a couple days. to get over it. Now I'm fine right now, okay? But it's like, because this was, like John said, this was doable. This was a doable year. Next year might not be doable, and they might not get to next year. I mean, my God, you got to beat Ohio State. I mean, you got to beat Penn State on the road. This Penn State team is going to be tough.
And you're losing a lot of veterans off this team, too.
Oh, my word. There's way more players off this Michigan team than Michigan fans really, you know, can surmise, because and there's still players on the fence on that, so including Blake Corum. So every year is a blank canvas, guys. With this portal thing, I have no idea who's going to be at the top of the heap next year.
All right, before we run out of time, I want to ask you a basketball question. thank God that the Michigan guys beat Maryland, because I was beginning to wonder if perhaps the girls could beat the guys.
God bless the players-only meeting, you know what I mean? And that's what happened. In fact, I was, you know, Pat, you'll get a kick out of this in the press area. That's so many how many Michigan media guys cover football and basketball. There was like 5 of us. There was Anthony and I from the Michigan.com, or Wolverine.com, and then like 3 guys from the Michigan Daily. So we had Juwan, all of them, and Hunter and those cats all to ourselves. And evidently there was a players-only meeting. Doug McDaniel talked about this, that T. Will told Juwan, or Juwan says, hey, well, where are you guys at? He says, we're having a players-only meeting. Juwan goes, okay. So they got a lot of things out beyond basketball. And I mean, this game was 17-0. I mean, you could tell the energy level. I was there right from the start after that embarrassment with Central Michigan, a very bad CMU team where Michigan, you know, gave up 17 offensive rebounds. This was a whole new team. So do I flip into the script and say, oh, yeah, Michigan's a candidate? No, you don't know what this team has. Big game, though, Wednesday night with Penn State. If they win that game, then they've righted the ship a little bit.
All right, Tom, we want to thank you for being on with us today on the Green Jack guest line, and we will talk to you again next Tuesday.
All right, guys, appreciate being on. I always look forward to it.
All right, Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Channel 47 out of Lansing. You're Inside the Cave. Pat Hayes, John Kane. Don't go away. We'll be right back.